The Canterville Ghost by Oscar Wilde. Chapter 1. The Bloodstain on the Floor. The house was very big. To the Otis family, who had just arrived in England from America, it also seemed very old. However, it wasn't until they stepped out of the carriage that they saw how big it was. They had to crane their necks backwards to take it all in. "Wow," said Virginia Otis, the only girl in the family. She thought it was the grandest thing she had ever seen. "Doesn't look haunted to me," said Twin One, Georgie.
"Nor to me,"
said Twin Two, Harry.
"Parrot," said Twin One.
"It's all rubbish, this ghost stuff," said their older brother, Washington. "They think we Americans will believe anything."
Canterville Chase was the name of their new home. Mr. Otis had bought it from old Lord Canterville, whose family had lived there for hundreds of years. Oddly, he had warned Mr. Otis against buying it. He said the Cantervilles had been haunted out of house and home. There was supposed to be a 300-year-old ghost flitting around at night and scaring people out of their wits. Mrs. Otis had just laughed.
"We'll buy the house and everything inside it. And that includes any ghosts," she'd said. Everyone thought they were completely mad.
Virginia sort of agreed too, but for different reasons. To be honest, she wouldn't have minded a ghost. The house was miles from anywhere. She could see months, even years of boredom ahead. A ghost would liven things up a bit. Although, when they arrived, it wasn't ghostly weather at all. It was a hot, sunny day in the middle of July. But as they began lugging their suitcases to the huge front door, something strange happened. Everything went dark. Not midnight dark, but all misty and grey. Then a flock of big, black birds flew overhead. The Otis family were stunned into silence.
"Crows," said Mr. Otis.
"A flock of crows. A bleak storm blows," said a voice from the steps.
They looked up. An old lady was standing by the door. She was dressed all in black, with a white cap and apron.
"I bid you welcome," she said in a funny old-fashioned voice. "I am Mrs. Umney, the housekeeper."
She hurried them inside. They passed, single file, through a huge hall and into the library. This was a long, low room, panelled with black oak. At the end was a stained glass window. For some reason, everyone was quiet, even the twins. They sat down on the big, old sofas, while Mrs. Umney served tea from an ancient-looking silver teapot. It looked none too hygienic. Mrs. Otis was staring at the floor, just by the fireplace.
"Oh, dear," she said. "Look, something has been spilled there."
Mrs. Umney glanced down.
"Blood has been spilled on that spot," she said.
"Oh, how horrible," said Mrs. Otis, clasping her chest.
"We don't want any blood on our floor. It must be cleared up at once."
Mrs. Umney gave a funny grin. More like a grimace, really.
"It is the blood of Lady Eleanor de Canterville," she said in a raspy voice. "Poor woman, she was killed on that very same spot by her husband, Sir Simon. The year was 1575. Later, Sir Simon disappeared. He didn't even leave a note."
She glared around the room, as if expecting Sir Simon to come leaping out of the panelling at any second.
"His body has never been found, but his guilty ghost still haunts this house. Mark my words, Mrs. Otis."
"Poppycock," cried Washington, leaping to his feet. "Complete rubbish. If you'd get me some pots clean away, I'll clear it up in a jiffy."
"I wouldn't do that, sir,"
said Mrs. Umney in gloomy tones.
"I'll get it myself," said Washington. A few minutes later he was back, and down on his hands and knees, scrubbing away.
Mrs. Umney looked terrified.
"What are you doing?" she cried.
"Look, I told you," said Washington proudly. He lifted the cloth. "All gone." Just then something else strange happened. The whole room went stark white. Then there was a sudden bone-shaking peal of thunder. Everyone leapt up, except Mrs. Umney. She fainted. Worst of all, Georgie disappeared.
"Oh, my goodness," cried Mrs. Otis. "Georgie, dear boy, where are you?"
For a moment, even Mr. Otis and Washington believed that something ghostly and ghastly had happened to Twin One. Then they heard a muffled voice. It was coming from Mrs. Umney.
"Help! Help!"
A small, pale hand seemed to poke out from her left side.
"Heavens!" cried Mrs. Otis. "What is happening?"
Mr. Otis helped Mrs. Umney up from the floor, and Washington fanned her with a newspaper. To everyone's relief, there was Georgie, a bit flattened, but all in one piece.
"Well," said Mrs. Otis, "what an eventful start."
And after making sure both Mrs. Umney and Georgie were unhurt, she suggested that the family should go up to their rooms. Mrs. Umney was not happy.
"You shouldn't have done that, Mr. Washington," she said. "That blood has been there for centuries. Who knows what will happen now? I have seen things with my own eyes. Many a night I dare not even lay down my head for fear of the terrible things that go on." "Don't worry about that, dear," said Mrs. Otis. "We Otises are not afraid of ghosts, I can promise you."
Up in the highest part of the house, there was a horrid peal of laughter. It was Sir Simon de Canterville, the Canterville ghost. Luckily, he was too far away for the Otis family to hear.
"Not afraid of ghosts? We'll see about that," he scoffed. "Oh, yes, Americans, too. Should be a piece of cake, as they say these days."